everybody. Glad to be in church today. Yeah, me too. I'm so glad to be in this place with you and gathered together as one church in many locations. So I want to look in the camera and say hello to our Hokesson location today. Much love to you and still celebrating with you around last weekend. And then to everyone who's gathering with us online, yourjourney.tv, Facebook, or YouTube. Very glad that you're a part of our online location as well. Newark, will you help me show some love for everybody everywhere throughout Journey City? And so excited about what's happening, and we're going to get into a brand new series in just a moment, but we're celebrating 98 of you who went public with your faith in baptism last weekend. Yeah. And I'm so proud of you if you're one of those 98, and it was a momentous weekend. I want to take a moment right here on the front end of our time together today and just pray over all of you who took this step of baptism. So I just want to encourage you, open up your heart to God with me, and let's take a moment and pray for everyone who joined our spiritual family last weekend, and more importantly, took that step as part of the family of God, and let's pray for them. Father, we love you and honor you. God, we don't ever get tired of seeing you work in the lives of people. It never gets old. And we want to just take a moment today and say thank you for 98 people, men, women, children, students who have went public with their faith, have decided to declare to the world that they are followers of Jesus and who are now a part of this community of faith. We pray that you will help us encourage and support them, and we pray for their strength. God, don't let them be discouraged by battles that they face. God, help them continue to follow your son, Jesus, and do miracles in and through their lives, we pray in the name of Jesus, and amen. Yeah, it's awesome. So I want to encourage you this week to just keep praying for all of those who took that step, and again, if you're one of those, we're celebrating with you. If you're here for the first time, you chose a great weekend to check us out at any of our locations because we are kicking off a brand new series called Upside Down. So again, I'll tell you more about that in a moment, but I do want to give you a peek at what's coming up over the next few weeks. And I like to do this a lot, especially this time of year, because there are some very important things coming you're going to want to know about. First is our At the Movies series. So this is kicking off in 2 weeks. We'll take four films from the last few years and look at them through the lens of faith. So yes, you will get to watch movies at church, everybody. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Never been a part of this before. It's a great experience, not only for you, but it's also a very simple opportunity to invite someone to experience God with you at our physical locations. There will be popcorn and candy and snacks. So need I say more? So if you've been gathering online and thought about checking us out in person, this would be a great time to do it. And if you are online, we'll be streaming this year for the first time. We'll be streaming those messages live during our online times, but they will not be archived. So you have to be in person at one of our locations or live online at one of our gathering times. But it's just such a great opportunity to invite someone with you to church. I mean, would you come to church with me? We're going to watch a movie. Soup, like, right? So very easy. So I just want to encourage you, if you're like, I'm not really sure about the inviting thing, it's church, and this is your time to shine, all right? So great opportunity to do that. And then a couple of weeks after that series ends, our Christmas offering is coming. I'm very excited about this as well. We do this every year as a community of faith. This year it's the second weekend of December, December 11th and 12th, and this is our opportunity to give above and beyond our regular giving at the end of the year to make a difference in our region and around the world. So what you give, if you're a part of this church, what you give every week pays the bills, all right? So this is not an offering to pay the bills. You help make things like last weekend a reality and serve so many people and reach so many people in our communities. But this is an opportunity for us to go beyond our existing walls and our existing spaces and change the world for Jesus. And we have some big dreams about our Christmas offering this year. I'll be sharing some of those with you in the weeks to come, but be praying about how God might have you be a part of that. So we've got some incredible things coming up, and as we start this series, what I want to do over the next 3 weeks, it's a short series, 3 weeks, just paint a picture for you of what God has for your life as part of his plan to change the world. And if that sounds a little ambitious, I feel you. If you're like me, you don't wake up most days feeling like you're a part of some great plan that God has to change the world, right? I actually did not wake up that way this morning. I woke up this morning going, it's cold, it's dark and my back hurts. And that's how I felt this morning, just being honest. It's hard being 32. And so, not sure why you're laughing. So if you're like me, you probably have more days than not where you feel like, I don't know that I'm really part of some great plan. God has to change the world. Maybe you even find yourself at times going through the motions. Have you ever had that experience? You ever felt like you were just going through the motions, maybe at work or at school or in a relationship or in your finances or maybe even with your faith, just going through the motions? So I want to take you on a journey starting today. Whatever your spiritual backgrounds, whatever your experience with church has been in the past, wherever you find yourself, I want to take you on this journey that I hope will change the way you see your ordinary life, and maybe even change the way you see this idea of going through the motions when it comes to your faith. So let's jump in, all right? So when this thing called Christianity started in the very beginning, to be honest, it wasn't much from the outside looking in. In the very first church that gathered after Jesus left the planet, there were 120 people in the room. When the first church started, it was the only church on the planet, 120 people. Not really something significant, again, from the outside looking in, but then it grew. And if you read the book of Acts in the New Testament of the Bible, what we see is these first followers of Jesus. They didn't consider themselves part of a religion. They considered themselves followers of Jesus. And you see them living out their faith and spreading their faith around the world. And a few years after the church began, in Acts 17, so again, book of Acts in the New Testament tells the story of the early church. And about two-thirds of the way through, we read about a guy named Paul who arrives in a city called Thessalonica. And here's what we read. This is Acts chapter 17. For 3 weeks, that's important, we'll come back to that, Paul challenged them, the people of Thessalonica, by explaining the truth and proving to them the reality of the gospel. Now, you may have heard that word gospel before, not really been sure what it means. Literally translated, it means good news. He showed them the good news about Jesus, and here it is, that the Messiah had to suffer and die and then rise again from the dead. So he made it clear to them, saying, I come to announce to you that Jesus is the anointed one, the one you've been looking for. He is the Messiah. So let me ask you a question today. What's the best news you've ever gotten? Don't answer aloud, but just think in your mind, what's the best news I've ever gotten? Some of you is when you found out that you'd been accepted to that college that you applied for that you knew was a stretch. You were like, did you look at my SAT scores? But you were excited. It was the best news you've ever gotten. Some of us, it was when we got the call, we got the job. Or we thought we might get the job, but it's when we found out what the starting salary was. And we're like, yes, good news. I remember when my wife, Susie, called me when I was at work to tell me that she was pregnant with our first child. And I was ecstatic. It was like the best news ever. I couldn't get any work done the rest of the day. I was just floating around on a cloud. I was so excited. Now, I was ecstatic about the second pregnancy as well. It's just by then I knew a little bit more about what babies require, if you know what I'm talking about. So I was reasonably ecstatic. I was like, good, this is good news, but now I kind of know what I'm in for. So first followers of Jesus, best news they had ever gotten. In their lives, no competition. Best news they'd ever received was that the one they had been looking for, because they had been hoping for the world to change. They had been hoping for their world to change. They had been looking for someone to come, and the one they had been looking for had come, the Messiah. Just like God had promised in the Old Testament prophecies centuries before, the Messiah had come. And Paul says, it's Jesus. He's the one. He suffered and died for us, and then he rose again. And that is the gospel. That is the good news about Jesus Christ. It's the foundation of what those first followers of Jesus believed and proclaimed. Whatever their story, whatever their background, whatever their ethnicity, as people came to Jesus, this was the foundation. Jesus came, suffered, died for us to forgive our sins, rose again to save and rescue us. He came to turn the world right side up. And this was the gospel. And whatever else you've heard about Christianity and whatever you think Christianity is about, this is what a Christian is. A Christian is simply someone who believes that about Jesus, that he's the promised one, he came, he died for us, he rose again, and then lives like they believe that. Not perfectly, not always getting it right, but trending more and more in the direction of what Jesus came to do has transformed my life, and I'm going to live like it. That's a Christian. So Paul preaches this gospel, this good news in Thessalonica, and you got to know this about Paul. He's a passionate leader, all right? He's one of the most significant figures in the early church. He's called an apostle in Bible terms, starts all kinds of churches in his lifetime. But Paul cannot keep Christianity going by himself. And he refuses, by the way, to take any limelight or credit. He's very clear, like, this is not about me, this is about Jesus. And not too many years after what we read in Acts 17, Paul's going to go to prison for his faith. Eventually, he's going to die. And so he's going to go off the scene. So who is at the center of the growth of the church in human terms? Remember, Jesus, the founder of the church, died, rose again, but then he left. He's not here physically anymore. And yet the church keeps growing. So why does that happen? Well, we begin to meet some ordinary people like you, like me. Ordinary people like a guy named Jason who shows up in Acts 17. Paul preaches about Jesus in Thessalonica. Some people believe the gospel, the good news. Jason is one of those. So I encourage you to read this week. Go read Acts 17. You'll hear about Jason. And so Jason believes in Jesus, becomes a Christian. That's exciting. But then a mob forms just a few verses later of people in the city who are opposed to Christianity. Now, they're looking for Paul because he's stirred up all this trouble preaching about Jesus, but they can't find him. Paul's gone. And so they find Jason and some other Christians who've been meeting in Jason's house, and they drag them out of Jason's house. They drag them through the streets, and they bring them in front of the city council because they're so angry with them for being Christians. Now, this is important. You know how long Jason and his friends have been Christians before they have to take a public stand for their faith? We read it. 3 weeks. Some of you who were baptized last week and are going, okay, I was baptized last week, and if I carry the one. And can you imagine that? I mean, they've just believed in Jesus, just become followers of Jesus. 3 weeks later, they're being dragged through the streets. And listen to this. This mob along the way screamed out, those troublemakers who have turned the world upside down have come here to our city. Now, they're talking about Paul, but that's not who they're dragging through the streets. And imagine if I'm Jason, I'm like, hey, Paul, where'd you go, Paul? Paul, hey, Paul, you know, whatever the opposite of LOL is, that's what's going on right now. Like, this is, Paul, seriously, pick up your phone, dude. Because Jason and his friends, they've only been followers of Jesus for 3 weeks. They're being dragged through the streets, and this crowd is so upset. So the question is, why all the uproar? What is it about faith in Jesus being lived out that so often turns the world in the eyes of people like this mob upside down? Well, over the coming decades, this gospel, this good news about Jesus, from what we read in Acts 17, continues to spread, and the church grows slowly at first, and many times it shrinks because there's persecution and there's a falling away. Some people give up on their faith in Jesus. But then over the decades, it begins to grow faster and faster until two or three centuries later, what was a tiny, seemingly random little cult in the eyes of the world around them, a few thousand people spread across the Roman Empire who had these unique kind of ideas about Jesus being the Messiah, had become a few million followers of Jesus by the end of the third century or so. So the question is, how did that happen? I mean, the founder left. And in Acts 17, Paul left. So how did this happen? I mean, whatever you believe about Christianity, you may say, well, I'm skeptical, and you know, Christianity's had some embarrassing moments along the way, and I wouldn't disagree with you. But whatever you believe about Christianity, isn't it astounding to think about how widespread it became? There was no internet. None of you could be watching online right now. Back then, I mean, it wasn't a possibility. It didn't spread that way. Christianity wasn't popular. People were persecuted for believing in Jesus. And nobody was preaching this message, hey, become a follower of Jesus and everything in your life will go great. No, people were like, become a follower of Jesus, you will probably have to suffer. People don't like it, but it's worth it because it's Jesus. So it wasn't outwardly popular. Most of the first believers weren't especially rich or famous or successful. They were just ordinary people like Jason. We don't even know that much about him. This is about all we know is from Acts 17. Think about this. There weren't even Bibles yet. The printing press wouldn't be invented for more than 1,000 more years. So how did they turn the world upside down? I mean, they didn't even have the YouVersion app. See my earlier statement about the internet. So how did they turn the world upside down? How did the name of Jesus become so recognized to the point that 2,000 years later, here we are? How do we end up in this room, which is one of millions like it all over the world, still hearing about, still talking about, still worshiping Jesus? How did that happen? Well, to answer that question, we have to go back to the very beginning. So remember that very first church, like way before Acts 17, what we just read, the very first church gathered for the first time 7 weeks after Jesus died and rose again and then left. So he dies, he rises again, he appears to his followers for about 6 weeks, he leaves, and then these first followers of Jesus, they gather in a room smaller than this room, smaller than our room at Hokesson, maybe a little bit bigger than your living room if you're watching online, but it wasn't very big. 120 people kind of pressed into this room praying. And they have no strategic plan. They have no initial funding. They have no Bible. There's no printed Bible. Nobody's like, hey, check out Acts 17. There is no Acts 17. They don't have any of that, and yet God shows up. And that day, the end of their time, they gather, they pray for 10 days. And at the end of that time, God shows up in a big way. The gospel, the good news, the same one Paul preaches in Acts 17, is preached on that day. 3,000 people put their faith in Jesus and get baptized in one day. It's amazing, right? But that is just an experience. It's just an event if something doesn't happen to continue it. So the question is, how did it continue? What do these Christians do next? Well, here's what Acts 2 says. So it paints a story, 120 people gathered together, God shows up, gospel, good news is preached, 3,000 added to the church, and then we read this in Acts chapter 2, that all the believers, all of them, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, which Luke, who wrote this, is his way of describing what we call communion, and to prayer. That's it. That's what turned the world upside down. This was how Christians lived. It's what they made a priority in their life. How did that change the world? I mean, this is why in Acts 17, people are dragging Jason and his friends through the streets. These guys have been listening to teaching. They've been hanging out with each other. Chip and dip. They're sharing their meals. These guys are praying. I mean, does it strike anybody as a little bit odd that this is the response? Let's break it down, all right? Just here's what it looks like. They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. So they commit themselves. They devote themselves to listening to and applying teaching about who Jesus is and what it means to follow him. They drink it in. They're devoted to it. It's not like, oh, if we can make it, we'll show up. No, they're devoted to it. They devote themselves to fellowship. So they devote themselves to doing life together, spending time with each other. They devote themselves to sharing, to serving each other. In this case, their meals, which you know I love you if I share my food. So you know God is changing their lives, right? And they devote themselves to this, including communion. So they remember what Jesus did for them together. Drink juice or wine, eat a little piece of bread, and remember the body and the blood of Jesus. Such a simple thing, but they're devoted to it. They devote themselves to prayer, to asking God to work in and through their lives to change the world. And the key is they devote themselves to those things. I mean, that's strong language. It means it's what they do day in and day out, week in and week out, when they feel like it and when they don't, when it's popular and when they're persecuted for it, when God responds with miracles and when God for a time responds with nothing, they are devoted. They're just devoted. You know, I've been following Jesus for 30 years, and here's what I continue to learn. If I'll go through the motions, eventually I'll grow through the motions. Faith in Jesus is not just about some flash in the pan emotional experience. I thank God for those. I'll take as many as he will give me. But the long trajectory of my relationship with God is not just about flash in the pan moments, but it's about a determination to stay faithful to the simple ways Jesus has shown me to follow him in this world. And if I will do that, eventually I will grow and I might just turn the world upside down along the way. There's something powerful about it. So what happens for these first followers of Jesus is they go through the motions. Are they bored? Do they find it monotonous? No, here's what we read. A deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. So God showed up in the middle of their motions. They didn't lose their awe of God in the midst of daily faithfulness to the teachings of Jesus. You know, since the journey began, we've seen 1,331 people go public with their faith in baptism. Isn't that incredible? I've said this already this weekend, that was a very good golf clap for a shot that landed about 10 feet from the flag, you know. But we've seen 1,331 people go public with their faith in baptism. Yeah. And yet, last weekend, watching people take that step, go public with their faith in Jesus, can I just tell you, a deep sense of awe came over me all over again. Even though I've seen 1,330 people get baptized, the 1,331st was just as awe-inspiring. Because I watch as fathers baptize sons and moms baptize daughters. I saw a person in a wheelchair getting baptized and another person weeping as they came into the water and another bear hugging the journeyer who discipled them and prayed for them and led them to that day. Can I tell you, those are miracles and they never get old. They never get old. But there are no miracles without the motions. So months ago, we started planning for baptism weekend. And weeks ago, people signed up to serve during baptism weekend. Conversations were had during J groups. People all weekend were praying and serving to help people prepare, handing out shorts and t-shirts and towels and mopping up water in between. People came early to set up the baptism pools and then stayed late to tear them down and put them away. There were all of these motions people were going through. People last weekend were serving online as online hosts, encouraging people who are watching online to get baptized. One person watching online during the 9 o'clock last Sunday put her faith in Jesus, drove here and got baptized in the noon. And it's okay, but I just want you to notice what we respond to. We respond to the miracles, which is appropriate. When the reality is there would be no miracles without the motions. Because it's the motions of our faith that set the stage for the miracles. And faith is simply devotion to the motions. It's not devotion to the miracles. It's devotion to Jesus that translates into a devotion to following him fully with our priorities, whether we feel like it or not. And it's the motions that set the stage for the miracles. Our problem as humans, yours, mine, is that so often we want the miracles without the motions. In fact, some of us, just to be honest, have a desperation-based relationship with God. So we pray when we're desperate. And God is a gracious God. So he often listens and hears and responds, but we have a desperation relationship. It's like, God, I know we haven't talked in 3 years, but I'm desperate. Others of us, listen, you got to catch this, have a delight-based relationship with God. So we pray and we worship and we express gratitude when something really good happens for us. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's the foundation of our relationship with God. And so something good happens, and we're like, oh, God, you are so good. I can't wait to see you in church again next Easter. Can I tell you that faithfulness to Jesus is not primarily desperation-based or primarily delight-based. It's devotion-based. I am devoted. Along the way, I know there are going to be times when I'm desperate, and I know there are going to be times when I'm delighted, but the focus of my faith is I am devoted because my life is built on the foundation that Jesus has come, suffered, and died to forgive me of my sins. He is risen again. He is Lord. So my job is to go through the motions. His job is to grow me through the motions. This is what faithfulness to Jesus looks like. So this deep sense of awe comes over these followers of Jesus. And if you read Acts, God shows up in the middle of their motions. People get healed. Cities are transformed. So the question is, what do these disciples, these believers do? All the believers, here it is again, met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. So God is doing miracles. He's growing his church. He's growing people's lives. He's turning cities upside down. And the followers of Jesus say, okay, we know the right response. We're going to go through the motions. We're going to meet in one place. That's what they do. They gather for worship and teaching about Jesus. And they do this week in, week out. They invite other people to come. In fact, when they started, they had church every day. I'm just saying. Don't worry. We're going to limit it to weekends. But they were just like, hey, what else would we be doing? We're followers of Jesus. Is there something that would be a greater priority for people whose sins have been forgiven and eternity changed forever than putting Jesus first in our lives? What else would we be doing? And so they gather for worship and teaching about Jesus. They invite other people to come. They spread the word. They share everything they have. They turn the world upside down with their generosity. They're not stingy. They're not like, oh, what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine. And No. They're generous. They give their lives away. Here it is again. Read the next verse. Luke is like, I need you to get this. Let's go over it one more time. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared. How many times can you use the word shared in one paragraph, right? There it is again. Shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. That does not mean that everybody liked them. It means that nobody in the world could find a good reason to criticize them for the lives they lived. Because they were devoted to Jesus. And they just kept going through the motions. Think about this. The reason we're in rooms right now, or watching this online right now, 2,000 years later, is because a few followers of Jesus devoted themselves to a few habits, whether they felt like it or not, that eventually turned the world upside down. Because they believed if we'll go through the motions, we'll grow through the motions. My job is to go through the motions. God's job is to grow me through the motions. So I want you to think about something you do every day, whether you feel like it or not, all right? Kind of get it in your mind. I'm going to bring one for your consideration, brushing our teeth. So I brush my teeth every day. I don't know about you. Only thing worse, sometimes I don't feel like it. I'm running late or I got other things going on, but I can't remember the last time I missed a day. The only thing worse than having to brush our teeth when we don't feel like it is to stop brushing our teeth because we don't feel like it. I hope we have 100% agreement about that. On behalf of the rest of the world, we would like you to agree with this statement. If you're going, you know, honestly, it's been since April. That's a problem. That's a problem. So what do? Because you know, okay, this is part of, like, I like the results of this. I don't always enjoy the process, but I'm committed to the results of this, and the rest of the world would like you to be committed to the results of this. So I'm gonna brush my teeth every day. So what do? Well, rather than agonizing over that decision, you make it once and for all, right? I'm just gonna make the decision once. I'm gonna brush my teeth every day. What you don't do is wake up every morning from then on going, should I? I mean, what's the weather like today? Is this a good day to brush my teeth? Or my favorite, God, is it your will that I brush my teeth today? God's like, yes. Let me tell you what, the world will get turned upside down if you start with fresh breath. It's a good start. Like, let's do this thing. Can I tell you, so often when it comes to spiritual growth, and let me just tell you, following Jesus is a lot more fun and meaningful than brushing our teeth. But there are parts of living out our faith that should be similarly not up for debate, no matter how we feel. And some of us, and if you're new to this, not sure what you believe yet, you can take a pass on this, all right? This is not for you. In fact, look over at somebody you think might be a Christian and just go, mm-hmm. But listen, for all of us who are Christians, for all of us who believe in Jesus, some of us are wasting insane amounts of energy daily figuring out whether or not we're going to be devoted to something that ought to be settled once and for all. Am I going to go this week? I'm going to pray today. I'm going to read the Bible. Am I going to be generous? Is this generous week, Lord, or is it stingy week? Which is it? And we already know the answer, but we're wasting all this energy that could be used by God to turn the world upside down. And the truth is, we're followers of Jesus. So what do? We gather with God's people for worship and teaching. Just settle it. I settled it in my life. I'm going to gather every week with God's people for worship and teaching. We connect with other believers. We do life together. Just settle. This is what I do. I do life with other believers. I need people in my life going the same direction spiritually. We serve the people around us. It's what we do. We invest in relationships with people who don't know God yet and invite them to experience God with us. Why do we do that? Because it feels good. Sometimes it does. Because it's effective. A lot of times it is. But no, number one, we do it because we're followers of Jesus. That's enough. We're devoted. We read the Bible and pray every day. We practice what we call here a slot and spot, a time on our calendar, a place we go every day. Can I tell you, and I'm a little embarrassed to admit this because I'm a pastor, but it wasn't until a few years ago that I just finally settled it was every day. Used to be when I went on vacation, I would not practice the slot and spot. I found out I needed more on vacation. So I just decided, you know what, this is just every day. Every day I read the Bible and pray. Sometimes it feels good, sometimes I don't feel anything, but God's still good, I'm still devoted. I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm devoted. It's what followers of Jesus do. Hey, we give our first. Why? Because we're followers of Jesus. We give because it changes the world. We give because it makes our souls more generous and it shapes us to be more like Jesus. But even if none of that was true, we would still do it because we're followers of Jesus and he gives. That's just, it's enough. We're devoted. We don't, listen, for our devotions, our commitments, our priorities, we don't look at our calendar first. We don't look at our to-do list first. We don't look at our emotions first. We don't look at our budget first. We look at God first and say, you are first. I'm devoted. Some of us are trying to settle small issues and ignoring big issues. The big issue is put God first. Then, scripturally, we have a promise that he will help us sort through every other issue, and every other issue becomes small when the big one is settled. God's first in our lives, and we're devoted. These first followers of Jesus were not special. They just brushed their spiritual teeth every day. They were just devoted, and they asked God and believed God to show up in the middle of their motions. And of course, because he's such a good God, he did. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved because they were going through the motions. God said, I'm going to grow the church through the motions. I'm going to make a difference through you because you're willing to do simple things, to honor me with your life. And God turned the world upside down. That's why we're here today. That's why we still know the name Jesus. It's because they were devoted. And they believed if we'll go through the motions, eventually we'll grow through the motions. Now, I know some of you may be thinking, hey, this is good. I'm going to assume you're thinking it's good. As opposed to the opposite, you know. So I'm just going to lead with that. You're thinking, okay, this is good. This is solid 7. Man, I'll give you that. But, some of you have like a yeah, but. I know people who just go through the motions and they never get anywhere in life. Yeah, me too. What makes the difference when you're going through the motions is the focus of your devotion. So if you're just checking religious boxes, just trying to maybe make yourself feel better or impress other people, I would agree with you. All those things I described, going to church, praying, reading the Bible, inviting people, being generous, giving, serving, all that stuff probably won't accomplish very much in your life. If it's just if it's just like an outward show in your heart, deep down, you really have other priorities, but you're doing it for some other reason. But when Jesus Christ is first in your life, there's power in going through the motions. And my experience with God has been that he tends to show up in the middle of the motions when I'm committed to him, when he's the focus of my devotion. I want to just, if I can, get through to you that the people I know who are experiencing the richest and deepest and most significant things with God are the people who've been following Jesus for a long time. If you follow Jesus, he saves the best for last. If you go the way of the world around you, go your own way, the world always brings the best out first and saves the worst for last. Jesus always says, hey, it's gonna be a bit of an uphill climb, but if you'll keep going through the motions, I will meet you in the middle of the motions. I have 30 years in, I have more awe of God than I've ever had in my Christian walk. All I've done is go through the motions and keep faithfully believing he's gonna show up. And he does. So what's a Christian? A Christian is someone who believes that Jesus came, died for us, rose again, and then lives like it. Devotes themselves to a few simple priorities, habits, that form the foundation of their lives. Around here, we have a simple way of describing it. We didn't make it up. We just kind of put this language around it, but it's been around for 2,000 years. First, we gather. We're devoted to worship and teaching about Jesus. So we gather like this. Here in Newark and Hocessin, online, we gather like this, and we do this when we feel like it and when we don't. I can't tell you how many times, our church is 14 and a half years old, how many times I've stood in a gathering and worshiped God, and sometimes I feel like Jesus is right here, like this close. And other times I feel like he's a million miles away, but he's good either way. So I'm going to worship him. You say, well, that's just going through the motions. Yeah, it is. But the focus of my devotion is unwavering. Jesus, you're Lord of my life when I feel like it or not. So we gather. We're going to be doing this same time, same place, next weekend. I encourage you to go through the motions. And we invite other people to experience God with us. We're not keeping it to ourselves. We go through the motions. And then we connect. It's what followers of Jesus do. We do life together. We spend time with each other. We meet in Starbucks and on football fields and on patios. And Acts 2 said they met from house to house. If they had had coffee shops, they would have met from coffee shop to coffee shop. Because the point is not the location. The point is our togetherness. We pray for each other. We encourage each other. We support each other. Sometimes we go to our group that week and it feels really good. Sometimes we're going like, I didn't get a lot out of that. But that's okay because God's still good and the people of God are still the focus of our lives. It's what it looks like to follow Jesus faithfully. So show up for your group this week. And if you haven't joined one yet, sign up for a group. Why? Because we're followers of Jesus. And so we connect. And we practice a slot and spot. We pray and read the Bible every day, whether we feel like it or not. Over and over again, God compares his own word to food. Don't answer this out loud, but how often do you eat? So that's, I'm gonna read God's word every day. I'm a follower of Jesus. That's how I connect with God. And then we serve. So we know we're followers of someone who said, I did not come to be served. I came to serve. So as we follow him, that's what we do. One word sums up the life of a follower of Jesus. Share. We read it over and over again in Acts 2. That's what we do. Our meals, our money, our time, our talents, our treasure, we share it. If you're not on the J team yet, there is some miracle not happening because you're missing from the motions. You have a unique fingerprint that God wants to use. You can't do the miracle, only he can do it, but he won't do it without you going through the motions. The story of the church is ordinary people going, I'm in, and God saying, well then, so am I. We go through the motions, we grow through the motions. So I encourage you, serve, go to Plugged In this weekend. We give our first. Why? Because Jesus showed us that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So God's the first line in our budget. Should I brush my teeth? Yes. Is this a good week? Yes. Because we're going through the motions. Christian is someone who believes in Jesus and then organizes their life around a few simple habits. They're the motions. And if you'll go through them, you'll grow through them. And if you would say week one of the series, all right, it challenges me. I want to devote or redevote my life to Jesus first and foremost, but then practically through the motions of my faith that maybe I haven't put as much priority on as I need to, or they've gotten a little bit stale for me. I'm going to redevote myself, or I'm going to devote myself. Would you have the courage, the boldness just to lift your hand all over the room, just hold it up high. I want to pray over you. My hand's lifted. Hokes, and lift your hand up high. Online, let us know. Father, we honor you. You're a good God. You're a good God when we feel like you're a good God, and you're a good God when we don't feel anything. We devote ourselves right now, Jesus, to living out our faith. We refuse to be Christians in name only. We're going to live like it. You're not asking us to change the world through our own power. You're asking us to show up with faith in you. Put ourselves out there. Say, I'm going to live out my faith. I will not be ashamed. I'm a Christian. I believe Jesus died for me. He rose again. That changes everything. So I'm devoting myself. God, I pray over your people right now, every location, that you would strengthen us. God, we ask you with faith to show up and do miracles in the midst of our emotions for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name. For some of you today, if you don't have a real relationship with God yet, I want you to think about something that may be a little bit crazy to consider. That the part of the reason there's a this, that there's a church, is because of how much God loves you. God loves you so much, he gave his only son so that you could have a real relationship with him and have eternity with him forever. And then part of the reason he created a church was so you would get a chance to hear about that. So if you don't know Jesus yet, there's no better time than right now, no better day than today. I'm going to lead us in prayer again. And if that's you, if you want to begin a real relationship with God, right where you are, whisper out a prayer of faith, something like this. Jesus, today I surrender my life to you. I believe you are the one who died for me, who rose again, my leader and Lord. And I'm going to follow you. Save me today. And if that's you, everyone around you says, focus on God. If you would say, that's my prayer, I want to be included in that. Will you just lift your hand, hold it up high? Yeah. In Hokesson, hold it up high. Yes. Yes. Online, let us know. Type the word faith in the comments, whatever platform you're on. And then everybody, will you help me? Come on, let's give Jesus all the praise. Go through the motions. Awesome.